tenancy proceedings, and everybody worked real hard on that. Leola did a wonderful thing, and if you haven't checked your emails, you should be able to bring this up. She reorganized everybody's list into one list, and if you have it in front of you, we need to pass
it. Could we have it sent again? I never received it.
I didn't receive it either.
Okay, we're going to...
I didn't get it either.
Let's shoot these out to everybody. So, the attachment on the back is slightly different from what we did last night. Okay, we're going to send it again. When you get it, let me explain how it works. It has... she's organized them in areas of topics. The first one, for example, is front-end dependency case management issues. Leola wants everybody to know that she has no pride of authorship. If somebody thinks a particular issue belongs in a different category, we can move them. And then you'll see after each paragraph there's a number, and the number, there's a key on the first page. The number is where they came from. And there was one person that submitted last night, and their materials aren't in these because it was too late. So you would have gotten that in your emails, and I got that one.
So that was Lori. And Lori, I did use the document, the barriers that you provided at our initial meeting. So those are included in here, but the email that we got at 5:00, they're not in here.
And that's fine. They're somewhat similar, and I apologize for the lateness of the materials yesterday. I was just distracted with court hearing.
So can I just give a little bit more background on this? This really was a very quick attempt that Christina and I did yesterday afternoon. And basically we printed each of the documents that you submitted on colored paper, had somebody cut them into teeny tiny strips, and we started combining different things together. So if you have this image of different piles of little tiny strips of paper, we tried to make sure that we included absolutely everything that was previously provided and on your list. The one thing that is not included across the board are the measures. Several people identified some specific measures, and we did not include those on this list. We did not take out anything that looked like a duplicate. We just tried to group things, and then we stood back, and we had about 20 different groups, and we started grouping the groups. And that's what this is. So they're really, we looked at things once and put it down, and it was a very quick exercise of trying to group things.
Okay, I got it. So it should be an email from Mike Riley.
I got it. This is Lori. I just got it as well.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So why don't you take those on the phone? We'll just take a minute and everybody can take a look at it. And what you'll see, I think, is that there are a lot of duplications and things that numerous people, they kind of bubble to the top that numerous people mentioned. For example, timeliness of discovery, several people mentioned that, you know, so you'll see that there is a lot of duplication, but this just puts everybody's in an organized form. Worries.
They're also...
This is all in terms of this exercise. I just want to say that I tried not to duplicate what other folks had already said.
Yeah, and me too.
Okay.
So I think it goes without saying that we agree. For example, the ones that were on the DA one last time that we had, I didn't go into a lot of those because I agreed with them and somebody had already brought them up. So, and really, I think on Lori's, again, that one, people picked a lot of those up because she kind of started this with her handout at the first meeting. And the very last page, you'll see a chart-like thing, and we'll talk about that in a minute. That's a tool that we're going to think about maybe using. Someone just join us? Hope we didn't lose somebody.
Maybe it was the person in the car.
Yeah. Hopefully they're not. How are we doing with the phone people? Have you had a chance to just kind of get the idea of it?
Yeah.
I think okay. It's really helpful.
I'm trying to write down the headache because without sort of a legal contest or,
right.
or an executive summary, I'm sort of struggling to see what the overall category is, and that's what I'm doing now. I think this is a massive and wonderful piece of work that I only dreamed about doing. I think there's a little bit of apples and oranges in the categories, so I just want to be able to see what they are.
The sheet on the back that says strategies to support systematic performance measure, that's a form that the model court work group has used that's been fairly helpful to kind of reduce things to something of what do we all have to do for our goal for our performance measure, and Leola brought that out as something that might be useful in kind of organizing this.
Yeah,
Why don't we start with the topic areas? Obviously, the most comments were on the first two. Does anybody have any suggestions for other topic areas? I thought this was pretty good.
I'm gonna, this is Angela.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna suggest that what's happened from my point of view for the attorneys for parents and children is that they don't have their separate category, whereas judicial resources and representation for DHS have separate categories, and that the lawyers' issues are then stuck in among either a substantive sequential issue like front-end issues, or under a lack of adequate staff resources, which when I look at it, I don't think about that as representation issues. And so my obviously, you know, given my constituency, I'm thinking that that's an organizational piece that I'd like to address, so that there's some balance. There's the judiciary, there's the representation for DHS, and there's the representation for the other
So what could we call that? Lack of adequate legal resources for parents and children?
Sure. I mean, it would require gigantic restructuring. I mean, just a picking up and dropping things into it, and I'm not suggesting we do it now.
Yeah.
I just think it's, my issue gets lost in this organization. Not lost, but...
Right. Okay, and then I'm wondering if the last two, the appeals and the CRB reviews, if we really want to go into those areas, if those are significant barriers for everybody. And the reason I say that, first on the appeals thing, they've done major, major revisions, and they're moving them pretty fast. You know, it's some delay, but compared to the way it was, or some of these other things, by the time you're at that point, it's delaying adoptions, and that's about it. And then on the... go ahead.
Sorry, this is Joanne. I think on the appeals, they are moving them quicker than they were, but, you know, there are certain kinds of cases that have a mandated decision within a certain number of days.
Right.
I think a land use case. So that land use is considered important enough by statute to require an appellate decision, but
so,
you know, maybe it would be for certain kinds of cases, permanency hearings, the things that are on appeal that delay the underlying case, not just delay a finalization of adoption.
So maybe that's all we need to do on that is make that one recommendation.
Joanne, are they actually complied with? Because there are appellate rules that require the juvenile cases to be super expedited, and are you suggesting that the appellate rule is not sufficient, but that if it were in statute, it actually would happen?
Well, yeah, I talked with Inga Wells. I went over my suggestions last time with her, and she has, you know, the unique perspective like Nancy's office does too. I think with the seeing these expedited cases, so certain ones are expedited, but you know, it's still a year, and a year in the life of a child is a lot longer than a year in the life of, you know, a property dispute.
One thing though is they are already
apparently a statute on certain kinds of cases that require a decision, and I think under what Inga had told me was that those cases do get decided. I mean, they're decided within 60 days or 90 days, and they're just automatically put on that pipeline. Now, I don't know if we had too many, they wouldn't be able to do that effectively, but that's something that could be suggested for certain kinds of juvenile cases, not every single one, but.
they are adding.
Are you talking about speeding up the litigants, or are you talking about speeding up the court?
The court, mostly.
That's good, because I'm about as sped up as I can be.
Yeah, and they are adding the new panel, so you know, there should be a significant improvement in the time frames in the appellate court anyway.
Yeah, but I would like to comment.
I thought that, but this is Joanne. I spoke with Darlene Ortega and another judge, and they both seem to think that it probably wouldn't make that much difference.
This is Nancy.
That's an interesting perspective.
Yes, this is Nancy, and I will say that we've already noticed a difference in our office. They added, but even before adding the panel, they just added an additional argument day for our lawyers. And what this has caused is that in preparing for oral argument, it does actually take quite a bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the schedule is sped up, you do need more resources, because you have to very quickly get ready for oral argument.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that there is some additional resource required.
So let's,
with an expedited scheduling.
So let's leave that in for right now. And then on the CRBs, the person that made that comment was from Multnomah County, which has a very different process for CRBs than everywhere else. They only review a very small number of CRB of their dependency cases in Multnomah County, whereas in the rest of the state they review all of them. And so the perspective may have been somewhat skewed by the fact that CRB. But I'm not sure how what CRBs is doing is a barrier to anything anywhere. So I don't know if we want to go there. But anyway, let's go back to the ones that are where we saw a lot of activity. I guess the next step that I see is the next part of the agenda is, you know, ranking them or figuring out what we want to work on and how we want to do that. Luckily, a lot of people put some potential solutions in there and things that they'd like to see happen. But that wasn't part of the assignment, so we could work on that. But right now, this is pretty broad. So I guess I'm opening it up to suggestions on how we narrow it down to a working list, possibly using this form if people like it, of things that we could actually focus in on.
I think the form would be helpful. Using the form.
Yeah. Okay. I guess the next step would be to try to reduce the duplication, get these down to something where we've got particular ones. Or are there any that really jumped out at people that they really think we want to work on?
Of course, from my perspective,
mm-hmm.
the lack of availability stands out
mm-hmm.
as an issue for everyone, really.
Yeah.
But I think particularly so for parents and children's lawyers.
Nancy, were you saying that the lack of the actual availability of a lawyer, or they have a lawyer and there isn't enough time in a lawyer's day to cover?
See, there's those are two separate issues, and they're both there.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Were you talking about just period around availability?
Well, and I think my suspicion is that there are two different issues. One is regionally. You know, mm-hmm. are there the lawyers that exist in the region to cover that caseload? And I think that was something Judge Sullivan pointed out.
Right. In Eastern Oregon, the answer is definitely no, except in Bend or Pendleton.
Right. And then we have the other side of the coin, which is that in every jurisdiction where there are lawyers, those lawyers have too many cases. There may be very few exceptions, but not many.
Well, why don't we start with that one, with the, because we heard some really good information last time about Washington's work on that, and you know, there are several there's you know, there's the issue with the you know, having a lawyer at all, which would be divided into the numbers and the training. And then the availability of the lawyer, the caseloads being too big, and lurking in both of those is funding, because of how the payment is. And then the other thing I think that kind of relates to that is that's lurking around the edges is investigators and social worker backup for the lawyers, which in a lot of places the only investigators they have are the regular criminal investigators who are not necessarily skilled in this area. And we identified, I think, only two places in the state where they had social workers, Klamath Falls and Multnomah, is that right?
Which one were
at? Klamath Falls and where?
Multnomah.
Oh.
And, you know, whether they need those things or not, I'm not sure that we could just say that, yeah, they need those. But I think that those are issues that have been raised about whether that would make things go better. So, you know, that's one, I guess, that what we talked about last time with this particular one is whether we would like to have a presentation to the group from the people in Washington about what they've done there to help us identify possible solutions. But I think that they would be willing to do that, don't you?
Yes, they've come down twice now, and they've expressed a willingness to come down again. So,
does the group feel that would be helpful?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I wonder if they want to come in January.
I'll ask.
Okay.
Our meeting in January is January 3rd.
We moved it, I thought, to the 10th.
Did we?
Yes, we moved it to the 10th. So
good.
Yes, we all said that may be a difficult week.
Right.
But even January 10th is awfully soon.
Yeah, maybe we ought to schedule them for March.
I think that might be
And
better.
Then that would be good. We could have a work session, and that we could dedicate our March meeting to that issue.
With the lack of availability, this is Valerie, of enough lawyers to represent parents and children and then what their caseloads are, I don't know that this falls in the same area, but I mean, I think there's a lot of, I think there were a lot of comments and then some things that came in about having lawyers at the shelter hearings, mm-hmm. and that sort of is part and parcel of that. And then I think also when you look at the DHS representation
piece,
it's sort of, it seems part of that as well. When do they need DOJ there and on what basis? So how are you going to get enough legal counsel for the case as it moves along? So
the Washington situation was heavily monitored too. I mean, in the sense they...
Bill, can you speak up?
Sure. The situation up in Washington was funded by, if I remember correctly, by a grant from some organization, and it was heavily watched and researched, and it was a pilot project. So I just wonder if you move through that and think about things like that, maybe looking for some pilot project in some typical county, and then having someone from the Portland State or the Criminal Justice Commission research to see what the results are.
OK. Okay, why don't we move to the lawyers at the shelter hearing issue next, because that came to the top. And someone was doing, I think it was Mike, did you do a, send an email out and ask somebody sent how many counties had them and how many didn't? Was it you?
We sent out a survey, and we did not get a complete response. So I can't say, all I can say is at least 10 counties report that they do or don't. You know what I mean? I can't say, I can't give a complete report on what's happening in each county.
And we sent one to judges,
okay.
And I forgot about that. So I will see if I can get that total for us.
Well, we have some of the most populous counties represented right here.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we know Multnomah does Lane.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
So we've got we have easily over half of the kids and cases with lawyers at the front end.
Okay.
So when you
speak on the phone, this is Lois, right?
Angela
speaking.
Okay, if you could identify yourself for the record.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
So if we were able to at least reach out to the other populous counties, the ones that account for a lot of the cases.
The biggest one I know of.
I think it's pretty fair to assume that most of the others do not.
I don't know. I know Lynn does not. That's a big one that doesn't.
Lynn, Columbia.
And Columbia.
Clackamas.
Clackamas, which is huge.
This is Joanne. I think it might be helpful to get that survey from ODAA as well, because I think there are many counties where the DAs do not appear, and DOJ does not appear on behalf of DHS.
Right.
This is Valerie. DOJ does not... DOJ does not appear, but lawyers are appointed for a child and all the parents that show up at shelter hearings.
And this is Lori. I can certainly get information from the ODAA as to whether DAs are going to the shelter hearings and their understanding of whether which attorneys are present or just being appointed.
Right. And with the DHS representation, that's a little bit dicey, too, because in my county, for example, there is always a state's attorney at the hearing, either from the DA's office or from the DOJ. So there's always a state's attorney there, but they're not representing the agency. They're representing the state. And sometimes... fairly rarely, but sometimes that leaves the agency hanging out there. And so, and then there are...
This is Lois. Yeah. With the exception of just a couple of counties, DHS doesn't ever have representation until after the jurisdictional hearing.
That's right.
Jurisdictional
right.
hearing.
You know, I hate to mention this, but I can't not mention that we also have these municipal courts.
Right. And county courts in Eastern Oregon,
And they aren't really linked with the state system. And so we have dependency proceedings that are ongoing that, you know, certainly our office isn't aware of because they're not in a state court. But once a TPR is filed, it becomes a state court matter. And the lawyers who provide services in the county and municipal courts are not the same lawyers as the state lawyers on contract, and so the parent or child often has to have a change of lawyer at that time but doesn't understand that. So there can often be a disconnect. Is some feedback we've heard.
I didn't know that municipal courts were doing juvenile
lawyers. And I may be wrong. It's these county courts.
Yeah. What I was aware of is that still by statute there are some rural counties that the county court, the county judge, does juvenile. And they're,
I think that's what Nancy means.
Yeah, and I know Harney is one of those where that's still true. And
Harney Morrow.
Morrow, and that's a very antiquated system that it doesn't involve very many kids, but it probably... is something that shouldn't be going on anymore either. So,
And it's interesting, this is Joanne, it's interesting to note in the county court of Morrow and Gillum, I think, is that it's, the judge is not a, an attorney.
That's true in Harney, too. It's just a county judge.
Yeah, interesting.
So I just received a copy of the survey results that we did with judges on appointment of attorneys at shelter, and I have Baker, Benton, Clatsop, Deschutes, Douglas, Jackson, Josephine, Lane, Malheur, Marion, Multnomah, Tillamook, Unitil, and Washington all do.
Okay.
And when they do what?
Have attorneys at the shelter care.
Well, appointment of attorney.
Read those counties again.
Appointment of attorney is very different than presence of attorney.
The question was, does your county have an attorney present for parents at shelter care?
Okay,
and they wanted you to read the list again. Angela did.
Baker, Benton, Clatsop, Deschutes, Douglas, Jackson, Josephine, Lane, Malheur, Marion, Multnomah, Tillamook, Umatilla, and Washington.
A lot of counties.
Yeah. So the big ones would be Clackamas would definitely be the biggest population, and then Lynn and Columbia by population, where they're not doing it. And no one seems to know why. It's probably a local culture issue. And I would suspect in those counties they do a lot of second hearings, which you don't get when you have lawyers there the first time around. But I don't know.
I don't know that they're having second hearings. We haven't looked at that particular. I mean, we don't have measured it.
Several counties have noted that if the parents don't have an attorney, shelter hearings begin, and they
continue
fill out an application and have them come in with an attorney, so it's like a shelter, essentially.
Right.
This is Lori Fellows. Even in Multnomah County, where we have attorneys at the shelter hearing, we often have second shelter hearings as well.
Yeah. Right. Because the attorneys just have met these people, and what I do is I offer that option when I can tell that there's difficulties, and we never end up having them because they get it worked out. But it can often move the thing along when you've got somebody that's, for example, under the influence and really not capable of making decisions, and or they're really upset, or they want to just fight everything, and there's no reason to at the shelter care to be doing that. I can say, well, you can we'll leave it open and you can have further hearing after you've met with your attorney, and that usually takes care of it. But
the other thing we use it for in Multnomah County is to give the agency and the family to have some time to do some more planning.
Right.
Sometimes we can get a kid returned by a second shelter hearing with the safety service provider, or get mom into inpatient and get a child returned. So we use it a lot to get some quick planning done, which keeps everybody moving quickly.
Yeah, and I do that too a lot. I'll say, okay, this is the plan for the kid to go home in a week. If it doesn't happen, we can have further hearing. And again, it always happens when I do that, because they don't want to come back for further hearing. But it gives a lot of assurance to everybody that if this doesn't work, it isn't going to drag on until the admit deny. So I think there's a lot of.
I want to go back to your list, Leela. Could you send that out to us?
I can.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Then the other thing that I think that really brings up is the incredible variance in practice from county to county. It's better than it was, but we don't really have a good understanding or a collection of what the practice is in every county and how it what is the same and what's different. You know, this is just one thing, the attorneys at shelter care hearings, where there's a split between the counties and the practice. And there's There's probably a lot of other things like that too, but this because we don't have a good overview of who's doing what in what counties.
Hi, this is Lene. I'm sorry, I'm joining the call late.
Oh, good. Okay. Did you get your email with the new materials?
I believe I have.
From Mike Riley.
That had this conference call information, front-end dependency case
right.
issues?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. That's what we're working off of right now.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I guess what I'm struggling with now is how do we reduce, I mean, we could go through this list and do what we just did on this one to reduce it to kind of what the issues were on each particular thing, but that would take a long time. And so I'm wondering what would be an effective way of getting the duplication out and reducing this to something that we could then move on to this form with. If that's what people think we should be doing, maybe it is a useful exercise to go through and identify the ones that we think we want to work on.
This is Leola, and I think that some of these things I would categorize as low-hanging fruit, things that are pretty easy to implement or to try to get some consistency, you know, relatively speaking. Mm-hmm. And then some are going to be longer term kind of projects that will require some statutory changes and some legislative funding. So maybe we kind of try to break things out that way. Mm-hmm. Might be an idea.
I think would be really efficient. And then the other thing is, are there areas that maybe we just don't want to go to? And I'll refer to my list. I brought up a couple of areas, incarcerated parents and the border issues, immigration issues and things. Those are two huge areas that are... You know, do we want to narrow the focus of this group and not maybe go into some of those areas?
Something's going wrong with the phone, at least for me.
And me.
Yeah, it is.
Somebody on speaker?
It's going out now. Maybe that's it.
Okay, are you
well,
good?
Now it went away.
It went away. It may have been shuffling papers.
I think it went away.
Okay.
Sounded like somebody had a phone in their pocket.
Well, it seems to me that what we need to do is we need to go through this document and reorganize it, remove the duplication, and I like Leola's idea of trying to organize it into the low-hanging fruit versus bigger projects. Does that sound good to everybody?
Yes.
Would you be willing to continue to work this since it was your list?
Are you looking at me?
Yes, I'm looking at you.
I would do that with some assistance.
Okay.
I don't want to be, you know,
I would be
low-hanging fruit or not.
Yes, I would be very happy to help you do that.
I can help, too.
Yeah. I'd be happy to help as well.
Okay.
You might each want to take a little crack at it and then see whether or not the reduced documents coming from several people can be merged together into an even further reduced document. I mean, I would be happy to participate in something like that because I absolutely agree that this is a daunting, mm-hmm. as we all knew it was going to be, a daunting project.
The other idea is maybe we break it out by categories.
And each take one.
And different people take different categories, and then we come back and bring that back together.
Why don't we do that? And with the caveat that if you want to pull something out of somebody else's category and put it in yours, you can do it.
Because it may be that that's
overlap.
I mean, I like that we have so much because it's almost like there was this giant brainstorming exercise and everybody just put everything that they could so that we have a lot to work with. And then,
well, why don't we assign everybody a category? The new one, the lack of adequate resources for parent and child, whoever suggested that, you get that one.
And that's Angela.
Angela. Okay.
That's Dandy.
Okay.
Can I just say that I think that as a group, we might make a little progress looking at these. They're basically, I think, 10 things. Mm-hmm. And they are, to some extent, I think, if not apples and oranges, mm-hmm. you know, Pippins and Granny Smiths. And we ought to, you know, the first one is sort of organized by, number one is front-end dependency mm-hmm. issues. Mm-hmm. And then the one in here, which I'm not even sure what number is appeals, and those are stages of the game, essentially.
Right.
And then there are the big picture, what I would call the big picture items, which is you need more, better trained judge lawyers for all the different sides, and you need more judge time because all of these other things are subsumed by that. And then you have sort of issues, so what makes, so training goes underneath that, and resources go underneath that, mm-hmm. And then you have these sort of system issues that no matter how well your judicial system is working, aren't going to be solved unless you have more resources for the services, et cetera. So I wonder if we could make these 10 or 11 into 4 or 5.
Yeah. Well,
This is Joanne. I agree with that. I like that idea. The only concern I have for splitting them off is that I think we lose the perspective that each of us brings. And if it's just narrowing down what's already on that list, maybe it's not a big deal. But we could group it into, like Angela said, a smaller number.
Right.
Then maybe we could address that as a bigger group, or I'm not sure what the next step would be.
Well, I'll make some suggestions. What if we put lawyers, representation for DHS together? We put front-end dependency, case management, appeals, and CRB together. And then we put, you also could put, delay or lack of services, lack of adequate staff resources, casework issues, inadequate training in one.
Can I make a quick comment?
Uh-huh.
Which is just, and I may be missing something, and I'll preface it mm-hmm. with that, but as I look at the strategies to support systematic performance measures model of looking at things, mm-hmm. I almost have the opposite inclination, because if I look at front-end dependency case management issues, mm-hmm. you know, just taking discovery is a discrete issue. It's a discrete topic, and it requires its own system goal, outcome,
right.
and measure. And so as we clump together, I almost think it makes it harder to specifically identify data points and strategies. So
maybe keep them that way and let
us... It almost seems to me like we might benefit from identifying sort of 8 major goals. And working from there, because you have all of the participants listed below. So if we could, at this meeting, identify 8 goals mm-hmm. and the outcome that we want. So as an example, systematic goal, reduce delay due to lack of discovery, system outcome, mm-hmm. no delay due to, you know, or, well, maybe the outcome is reduced delay due to lack of discovery. System goal is discovery within 5 days. Measure is 5 days. You identify your data points, and then each entity identifies their strategy. Then you have something concrete to work toward. And you, so we would do that going through the various topics, picking out sort of the things that jump out at us as things we could readily solve fairly quickly if everyone identified and implemented specific strategies.
Do you think we can do that today from the list?
I think we could get started. Mm-hmm. I think we could identify the goals, outcomes, and measures, mm-hmm. or at least the goals and the outcomes, and then spend time independently identifying the strategies later in our, you know, for our own entities.
Uh-huh.
But I, it's just a thought, and I, you know, I'm not married to it, but I...
Well, we've got plenty of, we could spend the next hour, let's see on our agenda. That's pretty much, we could do that, and then each one of us, if we could identify the goals, and, Then we could each split into our groups using this form. Is that your idea then?
And are those goals, like you said, that are things we can address sooner versus later?
I think there's right. I think as Leola said, right. There are some we can address sooner, and there are some that will take time. The things that I think we can address sooner are things like getting Lloyd. Well, maybe there are three categories soon. Middle and long,
mm-hmm.
But certainly discovery. That should be something that we could start advocating for at the local level fairly quickly.
And I guess the reason I asked the question is, are we going to look at coming up with goals for the 8 most important things that we identify, or are we going to look to try to think about what can we do sooner? You know, because Leola's.
Right.
Comments really related to stages of, you know, can we do something tomorrow if we really wanted to change the practice? Is there something that might take 6 months to a year because of having to reorganize, and then other things that will require more?
Right.
Well, let's do this then. Let's identify the goals, and then we can divide them by that range of what can we do quickly, what is a bigger project, and then work on what the strategies are. So we've had one suggested, which is to which people brought up over and over again, which is to provide a lack of timely discovery. Is that right? So to phrase that in a goal term, it would be to provide discovery in a prompt and timely manner, right? Does that sound? Is using the form to write that in. And the outcome would be we're looking in 1 to 5 days. Is that what we're... Would we want to quantify it that way, or...?
This is Lori Fellows. I'd be a little concerned about quantifying it that way because sometimes the issues with discovery are sort of bigger system issues that we can't solve that quickly. For example, if you've got parents on a dependency case that have out-of-state convictions, out-of-state police reports, or sometimes even out-of-county criminal history, it can easily take a lot longer than 5 days to be able to simply get those records given to our office from those other counties.
And obviously, if it's an in-camera review, it's going to take longer than that, too. So.
Absolutely. You know, Up here, if we have kids that go to our Caris Northwest program for abuse and neglect evaluations, it takes those folks at least 3 weeks just to get their report written. Mm-hmm. So an expectation that we'd have all the discovery out in 5 days, I think, is a little unrealistic because of the places we're getting the discovery from.
But I don't know that it means all discovery. I think what it is what is a, what somebody has that they can discover at that time, and then that ongoing obligation to provide discovery. So I don't, just kind of looking at this issue, I don't get the complaints about we don't have the tape, well, although a lot of times they don't when they should, but it is that first initial getting the attorneys, the parents' attorneys, child attorneys, something that there's a delay in. There's less delay now that we've had discussions on the record about, you know, remedies for people not providing timely discovery. They're doing a lot. But I think I don't hear the five-day suggestion or whatever timeline, if we're going to impose one or talk about that, as being everything that's, you know, could exist, because that's not realistic for anybody.
Right. I think one of the things that I had put in our document was require the sharing of discovery before the initial shelter hearing with follow-up discovery provided as it becomes available. So that would, that puts parents and children's attorneys in a position where they have something to review at the time of the shelter hearing so that they can more competently represent their client, but it also provides that window of time for the additional discovery that, that does take time to produce.
So maybe the outcome is that everyone involved in the process has their materials in a timely manner, dependent on the stage of the proceeding, something along those lines.
Well, you know, this is Angela again. The statute already requires disclosure as soon as practicable and no later than 30 days after the petition has been filed. So except for the material that Nancy's talking about that's pre-shelter, 30 days is actually a fairly reasonable amount of time, and it's not really followed because of all the reasons that Lori's citing. So we end up going really a long time missing material. So I don't know if people are talking about a statutory change, but if they are, for those of you who aren't lawyers or don't practice in it, there is a statute, and this is what it requires, and 3 days before any review hearing, which is too close in my view.
Right.
Maybe the most we can do now is just set the goal and then work on this other stuff later.
Right. I think the statute...
Well, I think it's really important to address that pre-shelter hearing, because if we're going to really look at speeding everything up by having people represented adequately early so that decisions can be made, then information early is really important, too. So I like the idea of addressing
the other shelter
hearing.
And the other thing is, at the shelter hearing, maybe what needs to be done is set a roadmap, you know, like they do in civil cases and stuff, or in our PCR cases, for example. We, in our initial order, we set out a discovery schedule. This is when it has to be done. This is when you have to have this and that, because it's the same, you know, it's the same kind of a thing. You know basically what's going to have to be obtained, and it's going to drive the schedule. And so maybe looking at a model, you know, a change in the model order that addresses discovery issues would be helpful for everybody. That's just something I'm thinking of off the top of my head. So at this point, let's just list that as a goal and then move on to the next one, and then we can assign these out. So what's our next goal that emerges from one of these?
Well, and this is Joanne, I'm sorry. I was looking at the headings again, and it looks like we pulled out discovery, but that wasn't a heading, right?
Right.
And I'm trying to find where that was listed. Is that under...
It's front-end dependency case management.
Okay.
So I guess the question would be, do we want to be so specific as to have that be a goal, or do we want to make a broader goal like...
improve front end dependency case management.
Front end case management or something like that, and then put discovery under that. Maybe that works better.
This is Joanne. I think that seems more practicable and more, I mean, like Angela said, there's already a statute. It's whether or not it's followed and what are the barriers to allowing it to be followed correctly. You know, is it workload at DHS?
Yeah.
Is it delay in people providing the discovery?
Okay.
So it may be...
All right. I like that, because if we do it that way, then we can lump... we can put, like, discovery, having attorneys at shelter care. We can, by our, so let's try to go for broader goals then. So we want to improve front-end case dependency case management. And then we can go through all of this and each put within our strategy how we could do that. Okay, so that works. Okay, and then the next one is appeals, and I reorganized this. For appeals, it would be to expedite juvenile dependency cases. Or do we want to leave that one out for right now? Let's not do that one right now.
Are we finished with the front end? Did we want to have another strategy under front end besides discovery
I think
lawyers.
Yeah, I think what that is it opens it up for a whole bunch of different ones. That was the idea of it.
Are we just identifying the goals now?
Yes, just identifying the goals, not the strategies.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
So that way then we can put whatever we want in there. Because there's a whole bunch of things. Okay, I reorganized my thing, so I've got it kind of goofed up. The next one we had was the next one, I better use a different, so I reorganized my pages here, was delay or lack of services, which is a huge one. Do we want to break that into two different goals, one lack of and the other delay?
This is Joanne. I think I kind of like services is to be
right.
Cool. And then under it, you could say lack of and how to address that.
So the putting it in goal language, delay is just part of it. The goal would be...
Some of the solutions would go to fixing both.
So if you're going to have a goal, it's as broad as possible. It would be provision of appropriate
timely
services in a timely manner.
Yeah.
Okay. Appropriate services in a timely manner. And then we can address lack of or delay or regions or whatever. Okay. The next one is judicial availability. And I'm thinking...
There are a lot of components related to being able to schedule things in a timely manner, whether and you know, that could cover appeals too.
Right. That's what I'm thinking too. So because these all seem to fall in that same thing, we need to phrase it in a way that the juvenile dependency cases will have priority and occur in a timely manner. So there's some way that, I don't like what I just said, but something that picks up both those ideas that...
I think that's the right way to go at it.
Yeah. So something along those lines is worded a little bit better, that picks up prioritizing and occurring in a timely manner. And then that would pick up appeals, too. At all stages of the proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so then that could pick up adoption and some of those issues, too.
All those things that, result in delay.
Right.
If it doesn't happen.
If it doesn't happen. And docket issues. Okay.
So this is specifically to court calendar management, correct?
Right.
Okay.
So.
Well, is it just calendaring or is it resources?
Well, calendar and resource management.
We need additional judicial resources.
Right.
I mean, I'm certainly going to promote the idea that we need additional attorney resources, and I think DHS and DOJ should promote the idea that we need additional resources.
So that's
representation of DHS, and so I think we ought to address regardless of whether it's realistic to achieve at this point, at least in terms of how we think about the problem, and this is Angela again, whether we don't need an infusion of some additional Dutch time.
Angela, well, I agree 100%. I was just trying to clarify that this is specific to courts and judges and not including DHS staff and other attorneys.
Right.
That was my clarification.
No, you used the term docketing, but it was specific to docketing, and I think it's broader than docketing. But yes.
Well, let's move to that next, because I think what we could do then is we could do lack of resources, and we're and then that would pick up, and then that divides into each subject areas: lawyers, DHS staff, representation for DHS, casework issues. All of those would fall under lack of adequate resources.
My preference would be to keep them in as a lack of resources underneath each of the specific areas, like.
Well, see, and that's the way the form is. So if we have a goal, then we can. If the goal is to adequately fund, if the goal is to have adequate system resources for optimal outcomes or whatever, then we can talk about we need more judge time, we need more attorneys, we need whatever as in each of our areas, if we make the goal real broad like that, is my thinking on it. The other is we can because if we have as a system goal, for example, that we increase judge time, then there really isn't anything the defense bar or prosecution or anybody can do about that. That's real specific.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't think that's the entire goal. But
I think it's part of a larger goal that we're going to adequately fund and that we're going to have the resources so that the system works. I don't know. Again, that's awkwardly phrased. Yeah.
So it's interesting because while I recognize that the lack of judicial availability is, that we could look at it as a solution of more funding, but I actually think the defense bar has an obligation.
Uh-huh.
And I think that is that they advocate in court for a timely hearing, and they don't let it go. And if it has to get appealed, it has to get appealed. And that's, I think, why I keep coming back to the smaller goals, because I think we do have a role in that we, as attorneys, and that we aren't always fulfilling that obligation to our clients, and that because the system barriers are so significant, you can get overwhelmed by them and lose sight of those advocacy opportunities. So I am not trying to push us back to the smaller, but to choosing to use a smaller goal, but I want to make sure we're not missing an opportunity to identify what everyone in the system can do.
Like call another hearing. I wish children's attorneys, if something's not right, would call hearings more often, and that.
Right.
Let's look at it this way then. What if we broke lack of resources into areas? One is time. The other is legal. The representation issues and time for those people, and the third is resources, which is case management, parenting time, all those issues that we've identified. So we'd have three areas of resources: one we just picked up, which is the docket time. The next one is adequate legal resources, representation issues, all that. And then the third one is the actual resources that people need to be successful, which is the case management issues, housing, you know, immigration.
The tools.
Yeah, the tools. How does that sound in terms of breaking resources into manageable areas?
So we already have the services, right?
Right.
Okay, so, and we have the juvenile dependency cases will be prioritized mm-hmm. and occur in a timely manner. So the thing that would be missing from that would be the legal representation. So we could have another goal that says adequate legal representation for parents and children with manageable caseloads for attorneys.
Or do you want to have it for all parties?
Yeah, for all parties, and then that picks up the DHS.
Because then you don't lose
she made
that.
It.
Hello. Do you have
so if we just said adequate legal representation for all parties. I don't know if I even like adequate. The adequate kind of implies kind of a bottom line, you know. These need
a pro.
Yeah, they need. Because then you get, they need people that are trained and and that
qualified advocates for all parties or
something along those lines. Maybe we can work on the wording on
it. Maybe it's adequate supply of quality.
Right.
Quality representation for all parties.
Right.
To the proceeding.
That picks up. That's great. Okay, so let's review what we've got so far, because I think we've got four now.
Yes.
And then we could, get into the lack of adequate staff resources. Actually, we picked up some of that, didn't we? So, what we've got so far are improve front-end dependency case management, provision of appropriate services in a timely manner. Juvenile dependency cases will be prioritized and occur in a timely manner at all stages of proceeding, and adequate supply of quality representation for all parties. So actually, the second one picks up a whole bunch of appropriate services in a timely manner, so that picks up all kinds of stuff. Okay, so what do we need next from our lists here? Does the second one pick up anything, or the four that we have, does it pick up the one that's in our list as lack of adequate staff resources? I think it probably does, from looking at what's on that page. And representation of DHS. How about casework issues? Have we picked that up under number two also? What about training?
I think two is huge with all the different things that we have.
Yeah.
And if we could throw a lot into two, but I think that might be overwhelming.
Well, we can look at if we want to break that down then. We'll come back to that in a minute. Do we want to do a training one that something like all parties will be have specific training on, all participants in the process will be specially trained or something like that?
Well, this is Joanne. I think that's already, maybe it is, and it's easy enough to do, and it's the parties that Oregon State Bar
right.
standards already.
Okay, well, let's go to the ICPC immigration placement issues one, because that one's a snarly mess.
Angela, I'm going to say that that's outside of our scope, except to the extent that adequately trained, zealous lawyers with reasonable caseloads, caseworkers with reasonable caseloads are going to do the best they can within the constraints of federal law, which is what governs immigration, and the interstate compact. And that making, that to the extent we're charged with making statutory changes, I think we better stick with Oregon statutes.
Well, except for...
Helps narrow our giant field.
Except for the fact that we do have the ability to recommend that they continue to work on a border agreements.
Yes. That's right.
And so we might want to...
So this is Lois. We actually have agreement, I think that's where we are with Washington.
Right.
A statewide border agreement with them. And I talked to Harry about the conversation that we need to have with Idaho to see if we can engage them in that same conversation.
So maybe this is a low-hanging fruit one that we just recommend that those continue or something and not worry about having...
Sure, that's it.
Yeah. Okay, and then lack of urgency and custody shifts. That's a training one and appeals we got. Okay, so it sounds like we need to go back to number 2 and see if we want to break that up because it's so huge.
Judge, can I go back just for a second to the cultural shifts, lack of urgency?
Uh-huh.
There's one on there that Leola, I think, put on there about perceived inability to finalize an adoption for DD
right.
child without losing funds. And our DD program got a federal waiver, and so we actually are going to be able to have the service dollars follow a child from foster care into adoption.
Oh, great.
So we're going to have that one solved, I hope, in the next year.
So that's another
one. What do you mean service dollars? Well, DD foster parents get paid a higher level because they had a waiver that focused those services or those service dollars on children in foster care. But when they left foster care, they didn't have the same access because the waiver wasn't broad enough. And so if the family moved into adoption, their rate went down significantly. So there was this new... waiver they got, they're going to be able to have some of those dollars that were considered, for the service of that foster home follow the child into adoption.
Well, are they, but they're not.
They're not what?
Are they just plain in the same way that an adoption assistance payment is just money going into the home, or are they continue to be payments for specific services?
I believe they're going to continue to be payments for specific services.
Right.
So I can get more detail.
Okay.
Let me get more detail. I think that the full breadth of how they're going to address it is going to solve part of the issue. Because we're also going to look at how those dollars are spent even when the child's in foster care.
So that may be another low hanging fruit one that we can just say that's great and go.
Okay.
It's been suggested that we take a break. Why don't we take about 15 minutes, and do you guys want to stay on the line or hang up and call back in 15 minutes, or how do you want to do that?
Yeah, I'll call back in 15.
Okay.
I'll call back.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
And then we
Thank
can
you.
Get thinking about what we want to do with this big one. Okay. And then I guess I need to go. people getting worried about travel. So I'm going to suggest a couple of things that maybe we could do on our own. One suggestion has been that we go through the lists, all of us, and do what Lois just did on it, things that are taken, that are in the pipeline or, and are probably going to be resolved. And we probably all saw those things. Like I put, one for me was all that prison stuff, and I was telling him last night about what the Department of Corrections is doing to address some of that stuff. And, for example, I could write that up and present it to everybody, and then all we'd need to do is, if we wanted to follow up with them or hear more about it, great, but we could just support that. So we could all do that by going through, and that would eliminate the low-hanging fruit kind of thing, the stuff that's already, we think, is going to be resolved on its own without us doing anything other than maybe giving people some support. And then the next thing we need to do is we need to break number two, and that's the provision of appropriate services in a timely manner, into more workable things, and then fill out each goal form for our discipline of what strategies once we get our goals. And we've got five now, and the one that we think is too big is number two, which is the provision of appropriate services in a timely manner. And we can work on breaking that down right now, or what's your pleasure on that as far as getting that done? And then I think we can do the other two things on our own before the next meeting. Any suggestions for how we should break that down? We could break it, as I said, we could, break it into legal resources and the social worky kind of resources, like evaluations, visitation services, whatever. Break it into two. So the first, if we put provision of appropriate legal services in a timely manner and provision of appropriate
social services
in a timely manner, would that work?
Sure.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay. And that would give us a total of six, and I think that covers what we've got in here. Does anybody think there's anything else that we should put as a separate? Yes.
Well, I just wanted to raise the issue that the New Yorker article, I think, sort of highlighted, which was that the child wasn't returned rather immediately, mm-hmm. and that set the case on a track that really ultimately prevented removal at any point down the line. And so when I look at the front-end goals, I'm not sure that we've captured the immediate return or the prevention of removal, and I'm not sure, you know, whether it should be a standalone goal, but I'm.
Well, let's talk a minute about, Lois, with differential response. That's going to radically change that, isn't it?
Well, that's our goal, yeah.
And so
our goal is to take much fewer kids into care.
Right. So.
And I think that the additional staffing we've gotten should help us with more timely return for kids that don't need to be in care.
So there's kind of a thing before all this starts of avoiding kids going into care in the first place. And then what I was talking to Nancy about was, I think judges that use the bench card and focus the inquiry on why can't this kid go home, and if they can't go home, what needs to be done so they can go home, take fewer kids in. And what it's done in my county is we do a lot more where we take legal only. And that way we can stay involved and we can mandate services and we can pull the kid out if we need to. But it's radically changed the number of kids that we're taking into care by using that form of inquiry, or at least keeping in care after we pull out initially, because we're able to do something immediately, like get a safety service provider in, find the dad and put the kid with him, you know, those kinds of things, so that we're not actually putting the kid in foster or keeping the kid in foster care. So I don't know what encompasses that, Because it's a radical change in practice. And again, these counties where they don't have attorneys at shelter care, I don't know how they would be ever even doing that.
Maybe the goal is reducing unnecessary time in foster care.
Yeah.
And then everybody can think about, maybe we add one goal and everyone can think about what their role is.
That's a good idea. What do you think about that, adding a next goal is reducing time in foster care?
Sure.
Okay.
And then each add under that what would assist that? Is that
right? Right. So, like, use of the bench card could be the judge one, or, differential response so that, you know, you're not putting them in foster care in the beginning.
I think that will also probably wind back to two in a lot of ways, but it's good to have that as a separate category.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. The one thing that I think is still missing is something related to training.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking that maybe the training and the lack of urgency, cultural shift, those kinds of topics could be combined.
Do you think the training falls within four and two? I mean, does it weave through? Or the supply of quality representation? Quality representation?
Well, we could put as a goal, we could put adequate training, adequate culturally appropriate training for all participants in the process, and then see what we come up with.
Okay.
And if it folds into something else, fine, but that's still, we're still under, you know, that gives us our eight, which was our target for how many goals we wanted. And if it folds into another one, I think that that's part of that evolution of the process, so... Okay, so then now that we've got our goals, what I would suggest that we do is you redo these forms with each of them on there and email them out, and then we all work on our particular area and then what we would put in as for a system outcome, system measure and data. Do you want to do that at the next meeting as a group after we fill in the bottom part? Okay.
That's good.
Okay. And if we could have, so our homework for next time then is to go through the sheets in the current handout and write up anything that we think is going to resolve without us doing much of anything, much as Lois did with the two issues she brought up, so that the whole group knows what's going on with those and we can put them to bed. And then to fill in your part on each one of the goal strategies after Leola sends out the sheets with the goals written at the top. And then for the next session, what we'll do is we'll work on filling in the rest of the form. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Okay. And then I wanted to mention about the New Yorker article. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I thought that it was interesting. I spend all my time reading professional stuff that I get from judges' things, you know, and so it was interesting to read something that was in the popular media by a non, you know, by somebody looking at it from that point of view. And so I thought it was, and plus it was a really interesting case. And it made me really think, well, how would that have played out in my courtroom and what would have happened? And I think it really emphasized how time is the enemy. Anything else anybody wanted to say about that article?
I really appreciated it.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was a really well-done article. And as I said earlier, I get the New Yorker, and I often don't have time to read it, so I was really pleased to have it pointed out to me and have already shared it with others. So.
Well, sometimes when you're in the middle of a cultural shift, you don't realize, you know, and we really have been. I mean, I've been doing this long enough that I have told everybody I'd still totally defend adoption and say family practice to the way it was before, which was terrible, where kids just languished in foster care forever and ever, and there was no timeliness. But now I think we're now at the threshold of what do we need. Now we can move into a really exciting area, which is what this group is doing, which is really reducing the number of kids that ever stay in the foster system long enough that it has the effects that that article was talking about. So is exciting.
Well, I think this is Lois, for me, it pointed out sort of that forever conundrum for child welfare workers, which is when something bad happens, There is a lot of public sort of belief that child welfare should have prevented it from happening,
yeah.
Which is not always possible,
mm-hmm.
but it's you know, I know workers at times will place kids just because they can't feel comfortable that something bad won't happen. And bad things, in spite of what it may look like, bad things don't happen that often when we leave kids at home.
Yeah.
They just don't. So it's really a shift that we're going to be going through for workers to where they can feel comfortable. And it's not just about their comfort, for sure, but you know, where we can leave kids in home with adequate support rather than bring them into care.
And that's the culture shift that I think we're moving to now with everything, and it's really interesting. It's certainly, though, I think from my point of view, we're moving towards a more humane and people based system rather than just the juggernaut. Yeah. So this is exciting. Anything else for the good of the order, Nancy?
Well, Judge Sullivan, if it's okay with you, I'd like to contact Washington and with the committee and see if we could get them down in January.
Okay.
I think there are some legislative days happening, and if we could coordinate our meeting with those days, mm-hmm. we might actually be able to get broader attention to these issues. And I don't know if other people have an interest in that, but I'd be happy to contact them and see.
Right.
I think they are in session the 15th through the 17th. And I think this group meets
the 10th.
The 10th.
So we might have to move this meeting if that were the case.
So let's find out before we
do anything. But I'll send out an email if I get their availability.
Okay. Well, we'll task you with that then.
Okay. I'd be happy to do it. Thank you.
Anything else? I think we've covered everything on our agenda. Bill, do you think we've covered?
More than enough. But
okay.
We do have a room tentatively booked for the 17th, not this room, but room 350.
All right. Anything else, or can we adjourn early and get people on the road?
So this is Joanne. So the goals, because I tried, but I'm not sure I got them already.
We're going to send them out on the floor.
All perfect.
So that'll be great.
And then the next meeting is on the 10th of January at the legislature, unless it's changed.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.